Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Jennifer Ervig. Now, if you missed yesterday's portion of the interview, you need to go back and catch up. I mean, her book, As My Mind Unwinds, it's a unique 30-day devotional that is just going to transform how you are reading your devotionals. Now, we're also talking today in this portion of the interview about using book reviews to witness for the Lord. Yeah, I didn't know you could do that either, but she's going to explain how the concept works, and it is fabulous. So if you missed yesterday's episode, go back, catch up, but that's where we're going to start off today, and let's jump right back into the interview with Jennifer Ervig.
And I realized that if I don't give her a good review and go public with that, how will people know about that? So right. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Witnessing through reading books and reviewing them, it's a big deal. And so when you have a favorite author, there is nothing better you can do to support them and the potential people they can help than to leave a review.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, not just in the book area, but podcasts as well. You know, you'd be surprised how few people actually will leave a rating or review like on iTunes for you, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Part of, you know, I have a podcast training program, and one of the things I talk about is go and leave reviews on other people's podcasts, because they're going to like, oh, wow, they will notice, you know, unless you get one of these that, you know, they get a million downloads per episode or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, someone at, you know, 50, 100 downloads, and, you know, somebody left a review. And what's the first thing you're going to do? They're going to follow you back. They want to know who this is, you know, and, you know, who knows how that will lead. But yeah, so I can see how reviewing books would do the same thing, because, you know, I love it when someone leaves a review on my book. I make a copy of it, put it on the website, you know, exactly. Hey, I got a review.
Exactly. And I mean, I get it. It might be annoying to log into your Amazon account or whatever, but literally when it's all said and done, it took you 5 minutes. It was a huge impact for the author, the podcaster, whoever created the product. Yep. And you do not know how that's going to connect them to people who need them and how you could change a life in something that simple. Yeah.
Exactly. Amen. Now, you also have a blog post that encouraged people to continue to tithe even in hard times. Tell us about that time in your life where you learned that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's actually, I believe, I want to say that's one of the chapters in As My Mind Unwinds as well. But no, I get super passionate about tithing, and I don't want to be legalistic about it, because it really is about how you can not only honor God, but how God says, test me and I will bless you. Like, he's flat out giving us a challenge. And I have seen it play out time and again. So I grew up in church. And so, you know, my parents, like, they give me $10 allowance. That $1 is going in the offering plate on Sunday. Like, I've always tithed. I've never not tithed. And so it's hard for me to wrap my brain around people who haven't grown up that way. And so there is that caveat. However, there have been times in my life where I just didn't have money. I mean, things are tight. There was a time, you know, in my husband and I's marriage, and the kids were young, where, and we were always trying to be responsible with money. You know, he's great at budgeting and all that, but like, literally you look at the budget and it tells you, you do not make enough money to even pay your bills. Forget food. Forget like all of that. Like, it was telling us in black and white right there on the paper or the computer screen, you don't make enough money to pay your bills. But I tell you, because the tithe was always the first thing that came out of our paychecks, we never went hungry. We never missed paying rent or a house payment or anything. The resources just, I want to say magically, although that's not the right word, but they just provisionally by the grace of God show up. Mm-hmm. And so he has that verse, you know, test me. It has been proven time and time again to be so true. And I know it's a step of faith for people, but I am telling you, nothing will grow your faith more than that simple act of obedience. And then just the rush you feel when you see it play out. Oh yeah. My gosh, it's yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been more than one time when, you know, I'll just use an example. My car, something be wrong with the car. You know, the little idiot light comes on and you can hear the difference in the way the engine's running. Oh man, I can't afford this right now. But you take it down to the car mechanic and he comes back out 15 minutes later. Okay, all done. Here you go. I said, what was it? A hose popped off or something, you know, and I just reconnected it. You're good. You know, like, thank you, Jesus, you know, because, exactly. You know, I mean, the car mechanic I use, their shop, it's like a mini church, right? Their auto body shop, they've been in business about 10 years, but they hold Bible studies there on Thursday night. On Saturdays, they got kids ministry, you know, and stuff like this going on at their auto shop. And they play, you know, Christian music all day long. So anytime somebody walks in, they may not be born again, but they're still going to see and hear about Jesus, you know.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
But so that's who I take the car to. But yeah, I mean, you know, here I'm thinking, well, I wonder how much this is going to cost me. But yeah, but the Lord, because you're a tither, he's providing. You know, that's just one small instance. There's all kinds of things that I could go into, just like you, I'm sure you can too. But tell us about the difference between joy and happiness. You write about this, but focus on joy over happiness. What's the difference?
Yes. And I'm going to just take the opportunity to say that that is a big focus too in my new book, When My Mind Winds Up, that's coming out, because that is an anxiety book, and holding on to your joy is really one of the best ways to defeat anxiety time and time again. But the difference between joy and happiness is really based on your circumstances and what's going on around you. And joy is something that you hold on to despite your circumstances. And although God is, you know, he's a good father, he loves it when we're happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy. But the thing is, he does not care about your happiness if your joy is at stake, because that is more important. So that's the difference, is, you know, happiness is circumstantial, joy is something deeper. And I go into that a lot in my new book, and I would love for people to pick that up and really, yeah. And I actually love to talk about that too at events. It's one of my favorite topics.
Amen. Amen. Well, since we've already talked about some things in your new book already, tell us about this new book, When My Mind Winds Up.
Yeah. So, and again, it was kind of a God thing. You know, I was just sitting, oh goodness, it was about a year ago in my living room. And I was like, it was just time to write another book. I just started writing it, just dealing with anxiety. And like, I mean, oh my goodness, anxiety. Ugh, I can't even, it's like you're fine 1 minute, and then all of a sudden you're hopped up, worried about something or sad about something for no reason. And you literally cannot control it. And so, I cannot remember a time that was not a battle for me. And I was like, you know what? One of the best ways that I do overcome anxiety is serving others. When I take, because anxiety and any pain that you go through really is selfish. Carrie Newhoff says in his book, Didn't See It Coming, that drop a brick on your toe and see if you can think about anything else.
Right. Yeah.
That there shows you how selfish pain is. And it's the truth with anxiety too. And so I was like, that's why I felt like I needed to write this book, because it serves others. What I have found is when I take the focus off myself, focus on serving someone else, helping someone else, whatever, that is the pathway to healing when it comes to anxiety or any pain that you're enduring. And so just that one took a little bit longer for me to write. That was not a 2 week and done, because of course I didn't have all the content. Like, I already did with the first one, but that took about 6 months. And so I turned it into the publisher on Halloween of this last year. And and now it's about to be presented to the world.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. At the time when people are hearing this episode, it will already be published in that time frame. So praise the Lord. The link will be down in the show notes, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, we talk about anxiety, but, you know, this life, this culture and society today, although it's an easier life than say 100 years ago or even 50 years ago, you know, because you know, people didn't have to worry about, you know, droughts, you know, not eating for, you know, a whole winter because the drought wiped out their crops and stuff like that. There were different stressors than there are today back then. But that being said, we have different stressors in our life today that they didn't have to deal. You know, our grandparents didn't have to worry about what people said on social media about us and things like that. So, you know, to be able to address that and, you know, tell us some of the ways you have presented to help overcome that anxiety.
So just you're asking for some tools or helps that I have that help me with anxiety in the moment?
Yeah. Yeah, just sure. Some ideas that you presented in your book.
Yes, sure. So like I said, trying to take, first of all, if you can try to take your mind off yourself and just think about somebody else. So because we all know somebody in our life, like maybe they're dealing with something like that mom was stressed out. Okay, I'm going to bake a casserole for her right now and take it over. You know, some practical act of service that you can serve someone else. So it just keeps you from sitting in your recliner at home, staring at the corner, replaying the negative thoughts in your mind.
Right.
And then of course, you know, all the stuff we hear all the time, renew your thoughts, take your thoughts captive and submit them to Christ. All of that, memorizing scripture, looking at the promises of God and what he's promised you, you know, all those kinds of things. It's a fight. It's a battle. Like you're not fighting physically, but you literally have to, every little negative thought that creeps into your mind, like, nope, I know that's not true. It doesn't line up with the word of God. Mm. Get that out of my brain. I reject you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, all that kind of stuff. Those are practical things. Of course, when you're dealing with anxiety, you're not always in a place where you can just shut it off like that and go to that, like, oh yeah, I have to think positive. So if you can at least get yourself to stop and breathe for a minute and then go into a prayer and then recollect and go, whatever can get you to just stop spinning immediately. Mm-hmm. To either think about serving someone else or whatever. And so if you even like write down like on a piece of paper, I need to breathe, pray, collect my thoughts, serve someone else. And so that when you go crazy, at least you know where that paper is at and you can grab it and read it, like something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's good. And you know, anxiety is such a big topic today. Mm-hmm. So to have this down in a way that, is it written subject matter wise, or is this a devotional as well, where it's like a different thought for a different day? How's the book formatted?
Sure. Good question. So it does have 30 chapters. I think it's 30, not 31. Anyways, because I did go into it thinking that I would present it as a devotional, like I did As My Mind Unwinds. And each chapter is only 2 to 4 pages. Much like As My Mind Unwinds. However, I did not market it as a devotional necessarily this time because so many people told me from my last book that they read it straight through. I don't know if it was they were just thirsty for the content and didn't want to, you know, limit themselves to one entry or chapter a day or what it was. But I sense that if that was true with that book, it would be even more so true with this because if you're suffering with anxiety, you want everything you can to help. So it can be used as a devotional. You can definitely take it one chapter at a time and go through a month, but you can also read it straight through. What I did do too in this one, because I still put coaching questions at the end of each chapter so that you can really make it real for you, is I also went ahead and included a journal page at the end of each chapter so you can write down your thoughts and stuff at the time in it. Because I did encourage with my last book that you buy a journal and used in conjunction with that. But I was like, let's just make it easy this time and we'll put the journal pages in there. So all that to say, it's not necessarily marketed as a devotional. You can read it straight through, but it can definitely be used in that way.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So I read one of your blogs about Jesus dying on the cross. It's titled He's Done Enough. And I loved how you related the things that, you know, we're going through in this day and time as well. And that he already took our place in that area. Would you elaborate on that thought?
You know what's so funny is you are bringing up stuff I totally don't remember writing.
I do my research. I dig.
I'm so sorry. I can't even think what that one was or how to elaborate on that right in this moment.
Well, one point I love sharing when I talk about, you know, he's done enough, and sometimes it gets me in trouble in some denominational churches, is, you know, Jesus did all of that while, you know, all the torture and everything that went on, while facing his greatest temptation. Mm. And do you know what his greatest temptation was?
I want to know what you want to know. You know,
he, think it is. He was enduring all of that torture, all of that pain, etc. And just think about relating it to a prisoner of war being tortured, right? The enemy wants information, or they want the POW to sign something that will give them the propaganda they can use. What promise does the enemy make to the POW as the torture proceeds?
That they're going to let you go.
Yeah, you can stop this at any time. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is say, that's enough, I quit, you know, and stop resisting, right? Well, if Jesus was tempted with every temptation, he had to have been faced with a temptation to quit. Because if it would have been, you know, somebody, well, Jesus, he couldn't fail. If it would have been impossible for him to fail, then it wouldn't be a temptation. He wouldn't have been able to overcome that temptation. So it had to be a temptation, the devil whispering in his ear, you know, all you got to do is quit, you know. And all he had to say is, Father, they're just not worth it. I quit. And he'd been the only one who could have gone to heaven.
Oh, that is so powerful. And what boggles my mind is he did all of that for the joy set before him.
Yeah, amen.
It's like the what?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because he knew what was coming. He knew what the promise was.
Exactly. And that is what's so powerful. And that is one of my favorite things to talk on too. Like, I just spoke on that at a conference in October.
Amen.
In fact, I mean, because that's how, when you focus on joy, you not only get the joy of what you want and what makes you joyful, but you get the joy of Jesus, the joy that he went through all of that because of the joy set before him. Like, you get all of that. Oh,
amen.
My gosh, it's
really
good.
Yep. Amen. Yeah. Amen. When I share that, I call it the last temptation of Christ when I speak on it. Mm. And, you know, I mean, there was, you know, people think it's the, you know, the Mary Magdalene sexual relationship or whatever, you know, but no, his last temptation was just quit. This will end. Just quit. It'll end. You know, go on, go to heaven. You know, you deserve it. Go on, but just quit. And he said, nope, give me another beating. Keep it coming.
You
know,
wow.
He just refused to quit.
Thank
Amen.
You, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. In your writings, you just don't talk about God, but you share how you talk to God as well. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love it when people say they talk to God in their daily prayers, but if they ever, you know, have they ever really considered what they're saying? I mean, I liken it to a teenager who's too busy with, you know, after school activities, hanging out with friends and all that. And, you know, they're losing the closeness of the family unit. And, you know, they'll just walk in and mom says, hi, how was your day? And they respond, they grab a plate of food off the table and head to the room. Fine. You know, bam, the door closes. And then a little while later, you know, they come downstairs and put the dishes down on the table and say, oh, hey, mom, I need $20 tomorrow. And can you do my laundry? Because I really want to wear my other shirt. Oh, by the way, I want to spend this Friday night at my friend's house. I'll need some extra money for that day, too. And then they turn around and start to walk away and say, we're good, right? Amen. And off they go. Right? That's how so many people approach prayer. You know,
that is such a good picture of it. I love it.
You know, I mean, when I hear people praying, say, thank you, God, for blessing me. Now I need this, 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 and this. And I just appreciate that. Have a good day, God. Amen. You know, I mean, how would you feel if your kid, that's the only time you talk to your kid is, you know, they come say, I want this, this, and this. Thank you. Bye. You know,
yeah.
Well, why don't you sit down? Let's you know, let's talk for a little while. I don't have time. I got to go to work. You know, I mean, I want to hear your thoughts on that, on how you talk to God.
So what I love about your little picture there too is even if that is all that we're saying to God, he still relishes in it.
Oh, absolutely. If that's all you can give him.
Right, right. But he is so thirsty for more. Because I mean, when my almost 15 year old goes to his room and he comes out into the living room with anything he wants to share, it's like, I put my phone down, I turn the mute button on the TV. I'm like, what do you got? You know, I'm so excited. Yeah. But anyways, so talking to God, I mean, because he's always present, right? He's always with you. Like, you can literally have a conversation with him all day long. Yeah. And my closest time with the Lord, and I do try to get back to there, but you know, it's like all the worries of the world as an adult at 40 years old now, they try to, you know, crowd in on my mind as well. But when I was closest to the Lord, I was about 18. And I actually do talk about this in my new book too.
Amen. I haven't even read it yet, honest.
So this is a God-ordained podcast. It's perfect. I remember I was a team lead at a daycare. So I remember opening up the silent building in the morning, prepping for the day, praying over all the children and all the workers that are going to be there that day. Every single time I changed a diaper, I'd pray for that child individually. When I'd go for walks on my lunch, I see a beautiful tree and I'd thank him for that. Mm-hmm. If I ate a certain food and it was like gross, I'd be like, ew, God, what are you trying to kill me? Like, because God is sarcastic and funny like me. And the reason I know is I'm made in his image.
Yeah.
Amen. And so he appreciates my humor and I can be so real with him. And it's just literally this intimate friendship. And then of course too, when you're talking to God, so I would also every day before watching, you know, back, that was early when I was 18. Oh gosh, that was like 98 to 2000. We didn't have social media like we do now, but before I would watch TV or whatever, I had to read my Bible first. And it was at that time in my life, that was the first time I read the Bible all the way through for the first time. Cause like a simple four chapters a day. And as I'm reading the Bible, it's like, oh God, make me like David. Oh God, I pray that I'm not like this evil king. Or, you know, just every little thought that would come into my mind, I would have a conversation with God about it, you know? And it's as simple as that, just ongoing communication. That's how you build that relationship with the Lord. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You know, you talk about God having a sense of humor and he can use it to bring you in line so quick. Because the one I share like that, you know, our evangelism radio, our radio station, you know, when we launched it, I had one broadcaster, me, you know, the only people who were listening to it was me. That was it. And we've grown, you know, within 2.5 years, we were rated number one in the world and had, you know, 50 some broadcasters in all these different countries. And one day, you know, I'm like looking at this, I go, God, why me? You know, why did you pick me to do this? And the response was immediate. And in a loving voice, I heard him say, you weren't the first one I told to do it. You were just the first one that obeyed.
There you go.
And I was like, I wasn't your first. Like, what?
That's hilarious.
I'll never forget that. Because I was like, what? I wasn't, what? But he said, you were the first one that obeyed. That's why the blessings are yours.
That's awesome.
Like, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Outstanding. I'll never, when you said God has a sense of humor, I said, when I'm speaking at a conference and I talk about that, I say, God has a sense of humor. And then I tell that story. And just like you did. Everyone busts out laughing. Yeah. Like, what? Because there's usually something that they, and the purpose, when I'm speaking on that, the purpose is just like that speaker did at that conference about the radio station. He said, whatever God tells you to do, you need to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And there were times when God said, I need to do this, this, and this. I, okay. And I wrote it down in my journal and forgot all about it. And suddenly I'm running into issues, you know, 6, 8, 9 months down the road. I'm like, God, what am I going to do about this? He goes, what did I tell you to do? I don't know. I got to go back journal. I'm flipping the pages backwards. And sure enough, there it is. You know, God, he's not going to bless you beyond the step he just told you to take, you know? So, amen.
Well, and one little thing that needs to go on, you know, art to hang on your walls in your home, on t-shirts, on whatever, notebooks, all the things, is this simple phrase, obedience equals success. Amen. And that is true every single time.
Amen. Amen. So all of your books are available on Amazon, correct? I mean, we're talking about the one that's coming out. It'll be out when this is published. So all of the books will be available on Amazon and bookstores and all that good stuff.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And Jennifer, if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, maybe ask you to come speak to their church group or other group or conference, maybe even do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Thank you for asking. So my website is asmymindunwinds.com. You can email me jen@asmymindunwinds.com. Also, my Instagram, which is Jen's Mind Unwinds, is a place I like to hang out and just have conversations with people and encourage people as well. But there is even a form on my website for speaking and all that. And I love to travel and meet new people. So, yeah, that's how you do it.
Amen. Amen. I'll be putting links to all that down below in the show notes. Folks, Jennifer Ervig's book, As My Mind Unwinds, and the one that, as you're listening to this right now, it has been released, When My Mind Winds Up. These are books that they just don't preach to you. Okay. It goes deeper than that. It takes you closer to God. It allows you to see God in your everyday life. It allows you to commune with God, talk with God, hear from God, you know, just in your daily routine, the things you're going about doing. Because it's that type of closeness that will allow you to hear God in different situations, in different circumstances. But it all starts with you going down in the show notes down below and clicking the links to get Jennifer's books. In fact, I know you know someone else who could use this encouragement as well. So get two or three. You know, be a sower. Praise God. Let God use you to sow into someone else's life. Amen. Let God use you to bless someone else and give them encouragement. Amen. Jennifer, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come on the program and bless us today.
It has been a true pleasure, friend.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Be sure you go down in the show notes, click the links, get the books while you're thinking about it, because you know the devil's going to try and distract you if you say, oh, I'll do it later. Just do it right now while you're thinking about it. That is all the time we have. For Jennifer Ervig and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.